The English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Resistance groups are slamming talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israeli officials in Jordan as a U.S. plot against Palestinian aspirations. The Russian president once again hits out of the West for its weapons supply to Ukraine, saying that Moscow should take into account NATO's nuclear capabilities. A migrant boat shipwreck in southern Italy leaves more than 40 people dead, among them several children. I'm Behruz Najafi. Welcome. Jordan's hosting a meeting between Palestinian Authority and Israeli officials later in the day amid heightened tensions in the occupied territories. Jordan officials say that representatives from regional parties and the United States also attend a meeting in the Red Sea port of Aqaba. The Palestinian Authority says its delegation will use the meeting to call for a peace deal and an end to Israeli occupation of the West Bank. But Palestinian resistance groups, including Hamas, have called on the PA to withdraw from the meeting. They say it's a U.S. plot against Palestinian aspirations. Israel has intensified crackdown against Palestinians over the past months. The violence has claimed the lives of more than 60 people. A thousand people have hit the streets of Tel Aviv for the eighth straight week to denounce judicial reforms proposed by the new far-right cabinet. Protesters gathered in front of the Knesset, waving flags and placards that read, "Crime Minister." The demonstration came days after Israeli MPs took a step toward approving the controversial reforms. The plan has triggered protests, with people hidden in the streets for weeks to express their anger at what they call a fascist cabinet. They believe that a proposed overhaul would fatally undermine checks and balances. If approved, the law would limit the powers of the top court to overturn cabinet's decisions. A number of Arab parliament speakers and lawmakers have arrived in Damascus amid calls to reinstate Syria's membership in the Arab League. The visit indicates that Arab countries want to restore normal relations with Syria after it was suspended from the bloc in 2011. Let's go live to our Damascus correspondent, Mohammed Ali, for more details. Mohammed, tell us about this. We've been watching this at the UAE, Oman, I believe, the most recent one, and some other Arab states have been returning since a couple of years back when Syria started to overcome Daesh and other terrorists. They're trying to normalize their relations. Now, let us know what Syria's going back to the Arab League could mean for the country.
Yes, definitely it's very important for Syria to return to the Arab League in order to play its historic role in the Arab world, in taking decisions and in cooperating with the Arab countries and neighboring countries for the interests of the Arab region and the Arab peoples. Now, starting by what happened today, an official delegation from the Arab Interparliamentary Union arrived in the Syrian capital, Damascus, at Damascus International Airport, and headed to the presidential palace, where they met with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Now, the delegation includes heads of five Arab parliaments, which are the parliaments of the UAE, Egypt, also Palestine, Jordan, and Libya. Also, the delegation includes members of parliament from Lebanon and also Oman. This is definitely the most significant, perhaps, visit for Arab lawmakers to Syria since the start of the crisis in 2011. We still don't know what the discussions were between them and the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, but following that meeting, they headed to Syria's parliament, where they held a meeting with the Speaker of Syria's parliament. They also gave out some statements. It seems that their visit comes to show solidarity with Syria and support to the Syrian people, especially following the earthquake that hit the northern parts of the country in Aleppo and Latakia and Hama. Definitely, this is a very important visit. Most of the parliament speakers that came to Syria said during the meeting with their Syrian counterparts here in Damascus that they hope Syria restores relation with all Arab countries. They called, actually, for the lift of economic sanctions on Syria. Of course, we're speaking about U.S. and European sanctions on the country. So definitely, this is an indication or a signal that Arab countries want to restore normal ties finally with Syria and help the Syrian people overcome their crises. The Syrian people have been suffering for about 12 years, not just from war, not just from terrorism, but also from the earthquake that happened over here. And definitely, Syrians do need all the help that can be offered to them from the entire world. So definitely, this is an important indication, this visit, that Arab countries have perhaps started thinking seriously about restoring relations with Syria. And as you have just said, this visit comes following visits from the foreign minister of the UAE, also from officials from Jordan, from Oman. Mm-hmm. So all signals show that, yes, the Arab world is starting to take serious steps towards Syria.
Okay, thank you for that. Mohammed Ali Ben, Damascus, Syria. Now, tens of thousands of Yemeni protesters have came out in a mass rally to show support for Palestine and to condemn the assassination of Yemeni President Saleh al-Samad in 2017. Yusuf Maurer reports.
The streets of the Yemeni capital were poured with a huge number of Yemeni protesters who came out to express support for Yemen's late president, Saleh al-Samad. Saleh al-Samad was assassinated by the Saudi-led coalition back in 2018. He is hailed here as Yemen's martyred president.
We came out today to express solidarity and loyalty to the martyred president who sacrificed his life on the path of Allah. And we say to the killers of al-Samad, your criminal and reckless atrocities has given new life to a nation. The Yemeni people will accept nothing but the just punishment against the perpetrators.
Protesters also express solidarity with Palestinians who are suffering from Israeli regime attacks and crackdowns. Yemen's main cause is the Palestinian cause, according to government officials who addressed the crowd at the rally.
To the Palestinian people, we say, your blood is our blood, and our blood is your blood. Every drop of blood that is spilled in the land of Palestine is a drop of blood being spilled here in Yemen. Any oppression Palestinians face is considered oppression that is happening to us and every honorable Muslim.
The Palestinian cause will always remain dear and deep in the hearts and souls of the Yemeni people.
The latest protest in Sana'a comes in the midst of ongoing political efforts by the UN Special Envoy to Yemen to reach a deal between the Yemeni government and the Saudi-led coalition to end the conflict. Even if the war comes to an end, the Ansarullah-backed Yemeni government will continue to face many challenges from world powers, given its unequivocal support for Palestine.
Despite 8 years of war and a strangling blockade that has stirred Yemen into becoming the world's worst humanitarian crisis, tens of thousands of Yemenis remain defiant and showing support for the Palestinians who remain occupied by the Israeli regime. Yusuf Mawadi, Sana'a.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says it's developed a new cruise missile with a range of over 1,600 kilometers.
Our long-range cruise missile, with 1,650 kilometers of range, has been added to the Islamic Republic's missile arsenal. It's flying at an altitude of approximately 40 to 50 meters from the ground. It's a phenomenon that needs no further explanation, considering its 1,650 kilometer range.
General Hajizadeh says the missile is named after the city of Pavan in the western province of Kermanshah to honor Iranian martyrs in that region in the 1980s. Commander of IRGC's Aerospace Force also said that Iran possesses hypersonic missiles which no air defense system may ever be able to intercept.
This missile system is capable of striking any target we want, and naturally our first targets will be the missile defense systems. And with our other technologies such as cruise missiles and drones and other capabilities, they cannot compete with us in any way.
The general also said that Iran is now able to hit U.S. ships at a distance of 2,000 kilometers. Tehran has made quick advancements in its missile program in recent years. The Islamic Republic has repeatedly stressed that its missile program is purely defensive and meant for deterrence. Iraqi defense minister has met with his Iranian counterpart here in Tehran. The two agreed to expand bilateral cooperation. Iran has stressed it's ready to share its experiences to help Iraq boost its defense capabilities. Our correspondent has the details from the Iranian capital.
Iran's defense minister salutes during an official ceremony to welcome his Iraqi counterpart. Thabit Mohammad Said al-Abbasi visited Tehran as Iran and Iraq are eyeing regional security and stability through stronger defense cooperation, with both sides emphasizing border security.
We fully support a united and stable Iraq. We will help Iraq achieve stability and security that will lead to the development of the country, and we are prepared to help Iraq in this regard. Based on our historical and geopolitical ties, we consider Iraq's security our own security.
The Iranian defense minister also emphasized that the Islamic Republic will not allow its borders to be threatened. He described the presence of extra-regional forces and the Zionist regime in particular as the main threats, not just to Iraq itself, but also to regional security. Meanwhile, the Iraqi defense minister voiced Baghdad's readiness in strengthening ties with Tehran.
The main objective of this visit is to boost bilateral relations between Iran and Iraq. On top of the agenda is the war that Iraq is fighting against terrorism. Both Iran and Iraq are facing national security challenges. Stronger defense relations can alleviate the situation, and in our meeting, we discussed this issue.
Tehran has had good and high-level relations with neighboring countries, particularly Iraq, in the past years, reiterating that international ties and the improvement of ties with neighbors are among the most important arenas of Iran's foreign policy. Iran has made great achievements with regards to its defense capabilities and has reached a level where it is now self-sufficient. The defense minister reiterated that the Islamic Republic is prepared to share its valuable experiences with the Iraqi side. Gizumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
The Russian president says that the West is an indirect accomplice to the crimes committed by Ukraine in the war with Russia. Vladimir Putin says NATO is indirectly involved in the conflict by sending tens of billions of dollars in weapons to Ukraine. He also underlined that Moscow has no choice but to take into account the nuclear capabilities of NATO as the U.S.-led alliance is seeking the defeat of the Russian Federation. Putin said that he had no doubt that a multipolar world would happen. He made his comments in an interview with a Russian TV channel. Thousands of protesters in German capital Berlin have demonstrated against supplying Ukraine with weapons for war with Russia. Protesters called on the German government to stop the escalation and instead engage in negotiations with Moscow. The rallies were held the day after a one-year anniversary of the war. Security was pretty tight as police mobilized 1,400 officers to keep peace and enforce bans on Russian and Soviet flags. Similar protests were held in the British capital, London.
Thousands of kilometers away from the front lines of the Russia-Ukraine war, an appeal for peace from central London.
But today's protest means that while there may be consensus at the official political level here in Britain and other European countries, anti-war sentiment among ordinary people is on the rise.
Years before the conflict began, anti-war campaigners had warned of the consequences of a NATO expansion to countries that share borders with Russia. Their warnings were ignored.
The calls for it to go on and on, which is what all the governments are talking about now, is really a call for more of this and for an escalation of the war with the possible threat of nuclear war.
No, нигде. that threat became more real last week after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced his country was halting its participation in a nuclear arms reduction treaty with the U.S. A response to U.S.-led NATO nations sending tanks and other armaments to Ukraine. Wars come at a cost, and it's not just the Ukrainians and the Russians impacted by this one. The ripple effects of what's happening on the battlefield have already washed up on European shores.
But we are seeing an impact on fuel bills. We are seeing an impact on food prices. But I think also there is a growing cynicism that there's no money to pay nurses a decent pay rise. There's no money for the National Health Service, but the British government seems to have endless coffers of money to provide arms for Ukraine.
After a year of war that's seen tens of thousands killed, tens of millions displaced, and entire cities destroyed, will this renewed call for peace make a difference? Saeed Pourreza, London.
A migrant boat shipwreck in southern Italy has left at least 45 people dead. Several kids are also among the victims. The Coast Guard in Italy is saying that about 80 migrants have survived the tragic incident. More than 100 people were aboard the ship. The vessel crashed against rocks during rough sea weather. Italy is one of the main landing points for migrants trying to enter Europe by sea. According to sources, more than 20,000 people have died or gone missing in the central Mediterranean since 2014. And that brings you to the end of this broadcast from Tehran.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 26, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And congratulations, everyone, on the auspicious birth anniversary of the fourth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, the great grandson of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Sajjad, peace upon him. As for your information, dear listeners, among the immortal legacies of Imam Sajjad, the fourth Imam, is the Risalatul Huquq, or the Treaties of Rights, that is more perfect than the United Nations Charter of Human Rights, and also the Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah, which is a manual of supplications to God in highly eloquent words that contain every topic under the sun, including scientific issues and the weight of light, something which modern science is still beginning to discover. Congratulations, everyone. Please keep us company until the end of the program. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Konstantin Borsenko from Russia, from Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, and Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. So, Konstantin, Mahfuzur Rahman, and Freddy, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we've received many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, one of our old and regular listeners. From Switzerland, we've received an email from David Favre. From Russia, we've received an email from Konstantin Borsenkov. Again, from Bangladesh, we have another email from MD Jahangir Alam. And the last, but not the least, is an email from Ralph Ladusch from Germany. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. As I said, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Hello, dear IRIB English Radio. At first, take my salam from Bangladesh. I offer my greetings to the IRIB English Radio and all the staff. Best wishes for you for the upcoming season. I'm glad to see that IRIB English Radio regularly replies listeners and asks them for their constructive opinions about its programs, making listeners more and more interested in listening to IRIB English Radio's programs and writing letters. As you know, I am a devoted old listener of your radio. Due to the outbreak of coronavirus, writing to you unfortunately stopped, but listening to your radio has not. Keep up the good work, and thank you for your informative radio. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran and from IRIB English Radio staff, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for sending us such a valuable and great email. As you may know, we know it as our task to reply all our listeners around the world and, of course, ask their opinions about our programs. So this way, we can improve the quality of our programs. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Anyway, we wish you all the best. And, of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our EQSL as verification. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, thank you again. And from Switzerland, we've received an email from David Favre. David says, hello, here is a new report from Switzerland of your radio broadcast. Thank you for the quality of your programs. It changes our perception about Iran and what is represented to us by our corrupt European media. It's a pleasure to listen to you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, David Favre from Switzerland. Warm greetings to you, and please accept our gratitudes for letting us know your views about our programs. Yes, as you said, when the Western media tries to tarnish the image of beautiful Iran, the best means to know about Iran is referring to the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting IRIB, especially your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Anyway, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, David Favre from Switzerland. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our EQSL as verification. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So let's see what Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners, says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I'm sending this reception report from Russia. I'm glad that your signals are being received and heard here in St. Petersburg. Kindly send me a verification card and other materials if possible. Kind regards, Konstantin Barsenkov. Salam, Konstantin, and greetings to you from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. We are also pleased to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received and heard in St. Petersburg, Russia. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification because sending any material at the time of pandemic is not possible. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Konstantin Barsenko from Russia. And as I said before, from Bangladesh, we've received another email, this time from MD Jahangir Alam. MD Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh says, I am a regular and old audience of IRIB English Radio. I listen to your English service radio regularly and visit your website. I like your website as it is quite informative for me. I request to send me some promotional materials such as postcards, stamps, etc. I will send you more reception reports in coming days. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you and appreciations to you for sending us this email, MD Jahangir Alam, one of our old and regular listeners from Bangladesh. It's good to hear that you liked our programs as well as our website. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification because sending any item, including postcards, stamps, etc., is not possible at the time of pandemic. So write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Thank you again, MD Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh. And after a short break, I will be back with you. So the last email in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from Germany, from Ralph Ladouche. Let's see what he says. Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for the nice EQSL. I'm very happy for receiving that. I hope IRIB has stronger signals in the spring so we can enjoy your broadcast about politics, culture, landscape, architecture, sports, and more. Peaceful greetings from Germany. Salam and peaceful greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. We appreciate you for sending this email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We wish you all the best, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. Okay, and here we come to the end of our program. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, David Favre from Switzerland, MD Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh, and Ralph Ladouche from Germany. Please keep in touch with us with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits in the Quran that promotes human rights. With these verses, we need to always keep in mind that they have different dimensions to them. They have different depths. They are not just one-faced verses. And that's how the Quran is. It's got depths until seven depths, as we read in the hadith. So we're trying to look at verses in the Quran which promotes the concept of human rights. One of the concepts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants human beings to have is the concept of goodness, being good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the verses in chapter 25 verse 63, He says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who walk upon the earth easily, and when the ignorant address them, they say, peace. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to look at how a human being should be, especially those who consider themselves to be the servants of Allah. He said that when you walk on earth, you're going to deal with different people. The way you act towards them makes all the difference. Because this verse itself promotes the idea of peaceful coexistence and tolerance in society. إِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant people talk to them, and obviously the ignorant people, when they talk to them, they will talk to them in a bad manner. They're trying to cause problems. But the mu'min, in return, he shows peace, not violence. So it encourages individuals like me and you to be calm, composed, when we are even faced with the harshest of the ignorant behavior from others, and to respond with words of peace. When we say words of peace, the Quran says, Salaman qalu salama, or salaman salama, peace. Peace is just a verbal word. So not literally when someone comes and throws accusations at me or curses me or told me things, I'm just going to say to him, peace, salama. No, actually peace, it's a word that needs to manifest itself in the person, in his actions. His actions have to be peaceful towards the other person because I'm capable of hitting, I'm capable of harming other people, I'm capable of doing a lot of things. But the Quran says to me, no, you have to control yourself. So the Quran wants me to promote something different. As a mu'min, I have to promote peaceful behavior. And this verse, it tries to speak about that and how we can produce peaceful behavior and give it to other people as well. Let us take a short break and then we will come back and continue.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So we are saying that the verse in chapter 25, verse 63, it promotes peace when it comes to people. So by promoting peaceful behavior, the verse helps to reduce conflict and promotes harmony in society. It encourages people to treat others with respect and compassion, regardless of their background or circumstances. This helps to create a society that is more inclusive and welcoming for all. So do you see how the ayah itself, just in one simple concept of just being good, being peaceful, it changes everything around. And also this verse itself emphasizes the importance of individuals being humble and respectful when interacting with other people. So I have a person with hostility towards me, a person who's trying to cause me harm, whether it is verbal or physical. But me, I'm saying, let it go. There's no need for violence. There's no need to harm other people. He's just being an ignorant. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I just walk off. This is what the I is trying to promote. So a person who is in this state where he is letting go of things and not holding grudges or reacting, in fact, he's being humble. And he said, it's not worth it. So it encourages individuals to walk gently on earth and avoid causing harm or damage to other people. So the verse in Surah Al-Furqan, it actually promotes the values of peace, the values of tolerance and respect for other people, which is essential for promoting human rights. It encourages individuals to treat others with kindness and compassion and to avoid causing harm or conflict by promoting these values. So the verse in return, if we look at it carefully, helps to create a society that is more peaceful, more inclusive, and respectful to human rights. So when you look at the verse, don't just say, well, that just seems to be, you know, a very average verse. It just says, say peace and walk away. Rather, it's not as simple as it may look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to create a human conduct, a human behavior that we need to have. That if I have it, you have it, and everyone else around us have it, then obviously we're going to have a more peaceful society. Or let's say not everyone has it, but at least some of us has this kind of trait. If we have this trait, then at least we can help other people. Because if I'm going to get angry and he gets angry and she gets angry, then we're going to have a problem in society. And most of the issues that we have in today's world where people constantly jump to violence and harming one another, either verbally or either physically, is because they don't have that tolerance towards one another. Allah says, no, Ibadur Rahman, and He was very specific. If you classify yourself as a servant of Allah, then that's your conduct. If this is not my conduct, and it is not your conduct, then we cannot say we are Ibadur Rahman, we are the servants of Allah. It will not work. Allah says, no, my servants are the ones that when they are faced with hostility, when faced with violence, when faced with other people being bad to them, they reply in a different way. Inshallah, we will continue in other episodes. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
U.S. prison deaths increased by 50% in the first year of the COVID pandemic. In six U.S. states, the rate of deaths in prisons doubled between 2019 and 2020. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. New York Times wrote in this regard, as the pandemic swept America, deaths in prisons rose nearly 50%. The first comprehensive data on prison fatalities in the COVID era sheds new light on where and why prisoners were especially vulnerable. Deaths in state and federal prisons across America rose nearly 50% during the first year of the pandemic, and in six states, they more than doubled, according to the first comprehensive data on prison fatalities in the era of COVID-19. The tremendous jump in deaths in 2020 was more than twice the increase in the United States overall, and even exceeded estimates of the percentage increase at nursing homes, among the hardest hit sectors nationwide. In many states, the data showed high rates continued in 2021. While there was ample evidence that prisons were COVID hotspots, an examination of the data by New York Times underscored how quickly the virus rampaged through crowded facilities and how an aging inmate population, a correctional staffing shortage, and ill-equipped medical personnel combined to make prisoners especially vulnerable during the worst public health crisis in a century. There are so many people who passed away due to not getting the medical care they needed, said Teresa Bibo, whose imprisoned friend died from complications of COVID and cancer in South Carolina, adding most of these people, they didn't go in there with death sentences, but they are dying. According to New York Times, COVID infections drove the death totals, but inmates also succumbed to other illnesses, suicide and violence, according to the data, which was collected by law school researchers at the University of California, Los Angeles, and provided a more detailed, accurate look at deaths in prison systems during the pandemic than earlier efforts.
Altogether, at least 6,182 people died in American prisons in 2020, compared with 4,240 the previous year. Even as the country's prison population declined to about 1.3 million from more than 1.4 million. Several of the U.S. states with the highest mortality rates in 2020 had a history of elevated prison deaths, including Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, and West Virginia. Researchers said the high numbers, 96 deaths per 10,000 prisoners in West Virginia, more than in any other state, stemmed from long sentences, harsh conditions, and relatively poor public health overall. Clearly, the pandemic is the story, but it is just a part of the story, said Aaron Littman, an assistant professor and the acting director of the UCLA Law Behind Bars Data Project. Even some states with typically lower death rates saw a surge. Michigan and Nevada both had about 70 fatalities per 10,000 inmates in 2020, up from about 30 the previous year. In New York, an early epicenter of the pandemic, the rate rose to 32 deaths per 10,000 inmates in 2020, from 25 the year before, while New Jersey recorded 51 deaths per 10,000, up from 21. Texas, which has the largest prison population in the U.S., had 48 deaths per 10,000, up from 28, and California, with the second highest number of inmates, had 43 per 10,000 in 2020, up from 32. Current and former inmates interviewed by New York Times, as well as advocacy groups, said poor health care was a major factor in prison deaths. Also, Truth Out wrote in this regard, the rate of deaths in U.S. prisons during the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic increased dramatically as lawmakers largely ignored the effect of pandemic on imprisoned people, a grim new analysis has found. According to data from researchers at the University of California, Los Angeles, deaths in state and federal prisons rose by nearly 50% during the first year of the pandemic, despite the fact that the population of people in prisons decreased by 10%. Overall, at least 6,182 people died in prisons in 2020. This rate is more than double the increase in the rate of deaths across the U.S. overall and tops the increase in deaths at nursing homes where COVID deaths were especially high. The rate of deaths in prisons more than doubled in six states, including Alaska, Michigan, Montana, New Jersey, North Dakota, and Rhode Island. As COVID-19 first swept the U.S., the virus was ravaging prisons. While a few states implemented early release programs in response to the pandemic only to place people in other form of imprisonment, many lawmakers and officials simply ignored the problem of COVID spread in prisons or allowed it to get worse. The Federal Bureau of Prisons lowered the rate of compassionate releases and the agency used only a fraction of the COVID drugs that it was allotted to help treat people in prison, compounding upon already inadequate healthcare for imprisoned people. Meanwhile, many prisons doubled down on the cruelest form of punishment, increasing the number of people in solitary confinement, choosing to abuse, neglect, and torture people rather than releasing them in compliance with social distancing measures to avoid infection. The UCLA data is the first comprehensive report of pandemic-era prison deaths. The UCLA law researchers said the data is meant to provide the public with knowledge about prison mortality rates, as federal and state governments have failed to keep proper records.
Aaron Littman, acting director of UCLA Law COVID Behind Bars Data Project, told New York Times that the public should know what happens to people in the U.S. when they are thrown into prison. Data on deaths in prisons has been suppressed for decades. Congress passed a bill to increase transparency of deaths of imprisoned people in 2000, known as the Death in Custody Reporting Act. But the U.S. Government Accountability Office found the vast majority of states were submitting incomplete reports under the law. Further, in 2021, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, a branch of the Department of Justice, announced that it was going to stop collecting such data entirely. Combined with the fact that many U.S. states have stopped reporting COVID cases in prisons, data around death of imprisoned people is woefully lacking.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, and here at IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners congratulations, for today marks the anniversary of the birthday of the fourth Imam of the family of the Prophet, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for our esteemed listeners a beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding the virtues, or one of the virtues of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrates from his father, Imam Muhammad al-Bakhir alayhi salam, that the latter once said, "My father used to say, Ali ibn al-Husayn, when he stood up to pray, was like a tree trunk, with no part of him moving, except whatever the wind caused to move." This is a reference probably to the fact that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was so mesmerized in front of God by the magnanimity and the greatness of God, that he, and so fearful of God's presence, that when he was praying, he could not even move. He was stunned, and his body became stunned and astonished in the face of God's presence. It could also be the fact that he was so immersed at looking at, you know, God's presence and his beautiful countenance that, you know, he could not pay attention to anything else. Many virtues have been narrated regarding this blessed person. For example, At-Tabarsi narrates in his I'lamul Wara the following: "And Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam had a slave girl who was once pouring water for him when the jug fell and hurt the Imam's face. He raised his head looking at her, and the slave girl said the following," quoting verses from the Quran, "Verily Allah says, and those who suppress their anger, wal kadhimin al ghayb." In other words, the slave girl thought the Imam was, you know, was upset, and she recited this verse. He said the following in response to this: "I have suppressed my anger." So there's no human being who doesn't get angry, and so it's not virtuous actually to not be angry, but the actual virtue, the ethical and moral, you know, virtue which is virtuous and praiseworthy, is to suppress one's anger. Then she said the following: "And excuse the faults of the people, wal afina anin nas." He said, "I have excused you." Then she said, "And Allah loves the virtuous."